Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Yeah, this is a rendition of the song that everybody always asks for. Thank you so much, Ben. I appreciate it. Man, the cool thing about the Lord, he sees in one instant your entire life. And a picture of a life is really interesting. We are born One fine day, children of God, on our way. Mama smiles, Daddy cries, miracle before their eyes. They protect us till we're of age. Through it all, love remains. Boy moves on, takes a bride. She stands faithful by his side. Tears and sweat, they build a home and raise a family of their own. They share joy, they share pain. Through it all, love remains. Kingdoms come and go, but they don't last. Before you know, the future is the past. In spite of what's been lost or what's been gained, we're the living proof that love remains. I don't know, baby, what I'd do on this earth without you. We all live, we all die, but the end is not goodbye. Sun comes up, seasons change. Through it all, love remains an eternal burning flame. Through it all, love remains. Alrighty, let's open our Bibles to the 102nd Psalm, Psalm 102. There's a mother, she's busy in her house working hard, doing what she does, and she's trying to keep her son busy, so she had given him crayons and paper at the kitchen table, and he started going at it. So after a few minutes, she said, hey honey, what are you doing? He said, I'm drawing. She said, oh, okay, what are you drawing? He says, a picture of God. She says, you know, honey, people don't know what God looks like. He said, they will when I'm done. You know, the Lord himself is such an interesting person, such an interesting character. And we just can't make him up. The way we get to know the real God is not through our imagination or through speculation. Those two things just create gods that men invent. They're everywhere throughout the world. You'll see them everywhere. Look through all of history, and there are these idols and all these things that men have imagined and speculated. But the real God, the true God, the creator, the one who loves us, we got to know him through a completely different way. It's called revelation. That means God, who is infinite and a person at the same time. There's no other God like this that men have ever dreamed up on their own. The true revealed God, eternal and infinite and a person, which means he wants to reveal himself. He's relational and he reveals himself, which to me is just so cool. There is this wonderful statement, Romans chapter 1, that God reveals through his creation. The other way that he reveals is through his written word. He's revealed himself in those two major ways. In the creation, Romans chapter 1 says we understand how incredible he is and his great power by what has been made, so that humans are without excuse. We can look around and realize this is designed, man.
You can delude yourself into trying to think something else, but this is the most incredible design. Debbie was at the retinologist. To think there's all these specialties within the medical field where he's only dealing with the eye. I mean, every part of the body is such an incredible design. We can look at the creation and find out what God is like. You can kind of figure out people by the stuff they make in our little half bath downstairs. There is this picture of a little wooden cutout of a maid holding a broom. I made it in 7th grade, Washington Junior High. It is the ugliest thing. I think Debbie just keeps it out for comic relief. They put me on a jigsaw and said, here, tradesmen said, cut this out, and oh, it's a mess. Then they said, paint it. I'm not artistic. It really came out bad. I got a C+ out of the mercy of the instructor. So you find out something about this kid isn't too talented, okay? He's not very much on the detail, is he? But then you see my brother Jerry's stuff, Mr. Perfect, the other Mr. Perfect. You know, he's the one that my mom and dad all raised by the book. By the time they got to me, they were kind of tired. I got away with more. So I'm kind of like a little freer and easier than he is. But you see his stuff from Metal Shop, this bowl my mother had, that thing is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. The detail, the quality, the whole thing is beautiful. Tells me something about my brother, that he's a guy of detail. He wanted to do it right. I mean, the stuff we make kind of shows who we are, and that's true of God. He reveals himself through the creation. He also revealed himself this other way, and that is through the Bible itself. He's given us his word. He reveals himself. And we are designed to get it because we have the ability to reason and we have the ability to respond to God's revelation to us. It's really a beautiful thing. So, we've always taught about the love of Christ here. All these years. All these thousands of talks. All these sermons and songs. But he said he'd love us. But how do we know that he can pull it off? He promised eternal life to anyone who would believe in him. That he died on that cross for us. And then the video didn't show. But you know, he was raised from the dead 3 days later to prove it was true. But how do we know he can get us all the way home? If you've had people make promises to you they can't keep, they mean well. Sometimes in the tension of the moment, they'll make a promise they can't keep. Enablers do that really well. We overextend ourselves and then can't follow through. I was with a family not long ago, and a mother was dying. God, I've been in so many of those situations, you guys. Man. But anyhow, this dear daughter is holding her sweet mother's hand, and she's saying, Mama, don't die. Mama, I won't let you die. I won't let you die. I won't allow it. Well, you know how much power she had. Mom was gone in an hour or two. People make promises that they can't keep. Has Jesus done that? The Bible tells us of the love, but is he able to deliver that? Well, the cool thing is that when we don't understand, we can look at what God has revealed to us about himself and find out what he's like. And trust who he is, even when we don't understand the situation. Let me read to you Psalm 102. Look at the Lord, will you guys? So much is revealed here, but we're going to Psalm 102, beginning at verse 25. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them. They will be discarded, but you remain the same. Your years will never end. Here's something you've got to know about the Lord. It's absolutely essential that we understand what he's revealed to us about himself. He never changes. He doesn't change. Have you ever had somebody tell you they love you and commit their life to you? They will always love you. And in a lot of cases, they didn't keep their promise, did they? Things changed, right? With the Lord, it never changes, never. He said in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. James said about the Lord in speaking of him that he does not change like shifting shadows. The whole idea of the sun moving and everything changing with time. He doesn't change. Psalm 3:11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. He will not change his mind about you. I know, this verse is on everybody's wall in this last few years, but I'm going to read it to you again
because it's still true. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He can fulfill that promise because he never changes. In a world that, what do they say? The only thing that never changes is that everything changes, or whatever that is, whatever the statement is. In a world that is continually changing all around us, there is one person that never changes, and that's him. Cling to him. Here's the other thing, too, which is really a little difficult to even express, but not only does he not change, to take it a step farther, he's not in any way affected by time. I'm going to read you Isaiah chapter 46. Listen to this. Listen to his relation to time, the time of the minutes ticking off to us. But what about him? Do they affect him? Listen to this. Remember the former things, those of long ago. Isaiah 46, 9 is where I am. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. I make known the ends from the beginning, from ancient times, and what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Do you see his whole thing about, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times to what is still to come. That whole idea of God being outside of time to me is so interesting. First of all, time passed to God. What does it look like to him? Well, Psalm 90, verse 4, the psalmist wrote this. For 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by. Again, for 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by. All of ancient history of all time and eternity past is to God like a day that's just gone by, like a watch in the night. If I ask you what you had to eat last Friday at lunch, you wouldn't be able to figure it out. You'd have to sit down and think about it for a long time. Now, if I ask you from a week from Friday, forget it. You got nothing, okay? That's just the way it is. You're not going to know. We forget. As time moves on, it's amazing to me how few moments in my life that I actually remember. All the incredible stuff the Lord has done in this room over the last 40 years, it's so sad I can only remember a few of them, really. I hate that. Sure about the old couple? The wife said to the husband, here's some money. Go to the drugstore and buy me some hairspray. He came home an hour and a half later with a bag with 2 ham sandwiches in it. Comes back and he's got 2 ham sandwiches in a bag. And she takes the bag disgusted from him, opens it, opens the sandwich, takes it apart and says, I told you to bring mustard. It's just the way we are. We just forget, right? We naturally, as we get older and as things go in the past, we forget that stuff, right? Notice God's perspective on what's happened. 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, like a watch in the night. That is the 3-4 hour period. So you're fresh about what happened so far this morning. You can give me all the details, right? Because it just happened. To God, every detail of everything in the past, when it says here 1,000 years, it's using it figuratively, of course, like as far back as you can think, okay? As far back as you can think. To him, it like it just happened. That's an amazing statement. For God, all the past is in his mind perfectly vividly right now. That's an amazing thought. Now, what about the future? Well, Peter quotes the psalmist and adds something to it when he wrote 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not forget this one thing. This is a great encouragement, so you got to remember it.
With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And here's the quote from Psalms. And 1,000 years is like a day. But he turns it around in the beginning of the verse and extends our understanding of it. He says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. This moment and all of future ahead, he sees all of that in an instant. He knows every detail of that. Here's God. He is not in time with us. Now, God works into time. Of course, you know, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, you know, made of a woman, made under the law, all that stuff. Yeah. God works into history, into time. He created time, all that stuff, but he is above it. He's outside of it. He can see it all as a plane, not as a sequence. He sees it all right now. When that God says he's going to keep his promises to you, he doesn't change and he is never surprised. There's nothing he does not see in the past or in the future that's going to hinder him completing his promises. God sees and knows all events, past, present, and future, with equal vividness. I was sitting at my desk yesterday and it was starting to get dusk, and I was talking to Debbie on the phone, and I looked up at my clock. It's 5 o'clock already? I mean, we live in these minutes, right? They always run so quickly. There's never enough time. I mean, we're just always running from one thing to another. It's just time is always moving. We're always driven by it. God is completely outside of all of that and not controlled by it. He does not experience the succession of moments like we do. So since he doesn't change, and since he is outside, above, and in complete view of all time, I can't even think of that. I really can't. I said that stuff. I still can't get my head around that. But he made you these promises. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, do you know there's an interesting statement in the book of Ephesians? Back in 1980, if you ever go to Mackinac Island, their one claim to fame there is that they made, Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour made that great old movie Somewhere in Time, right? There's a really interesting moment when Christopher Reeves is trying to concentrate his way to time travel. And I love time travel movies. I don't know what it is about. I just love that stuff. But we just watched Kate and Leopold again the other night, that movie time travel. I love that stuff. But anyhow, Christopher Reeves, the actor, he gets into the old Grand Hotel guest books from the 1800s. And he finds his signature there. And he says, I was there. And all of a sudden he's transported, right? Well, it's very interesting because the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, said something very profound about you. He said, you are already seated in heavenly places. You get that? Since he sees and is above all time, he just doesn't see us in the nasty now and now. He sees us home. And he can make these promises. He already sees it. We're already there. Man, that blows my mind. So, when the day is dark, when you don't know where to turn, you gotta cling to who he is. Nikki White has become one of my favorite writers. She writes a blog that is entitled Just a Broken Believer. And she had a blog the other day. It begins with a photo of her niece and nephew leaning on their parents' gravestone, Mary and Jay. And under Jay's name, there's a new inscription, a fresh inscription that gives his great statement, it is what it is. And Nikki writes this: the words mysteriously appeared on a gravestone which marked the near extinction of my family's hope. It is what it is. A few short months before, the hands that had recently carried our sister to her grave took up the spade to turn the same earth onto her husband's. Numbly, those hands clenched in desperate prayer, grasping for answers that never came. And then, as if in a delivery delayed by a winter storm, the words my brother-in-law had chosen to leave us with arrived. It is what it is. After the shock wore off, we laughed in disbelief. Of all the wisdom he could bequeath to generations to come, he'd chosen this. Time passed and grief settled in hard, but that simple statement becomes a softer landing pad for all questions that were thrown up to heaven only to come back empty. And what can be said about a mother's mourning her young son, a friend grieving her vibrant health, a husband who fought the battle for his marriage and lost,
Years ago, I could barely hear my daddy's whisper through my own cries of despair as he read God's answer just outside the room where my mom was dying. Quote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." It's Isaiah 55. As believers, how do we wrap our heads and hearts around unfair heartbreaks in this fragmented world? We want answers. We want to know why, but if an angel showed up at your earthly doorstep with the eternal explanation, would it ever be enough? So we walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in the love and goodness of our Heavenly Father, who answered the greater question of His love for us in His own Son's blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3. We take the hands that once came away empty and lift them again to heaven, expecting comfort, strength, but not answers. Not yet. We know that one day all will be made right. One day, but not today. So we wait. We trust. We live. We sigh. It is what it is. Beautiful. Do you ever read a book? A favorite book that you couldn't put down, and you like blew through it in a whole day. You just couldn't put it down. It was an incredible biography, an incredible novel, whatever it is. And you finished that book. You loved that book. You hated that it was over. But in the twilight of reading the book, you flip back through its pages, and you could like remember everything. You saw everything that took place in that person's life in one. That's not a good illustration, but that's how God sees you. Victoria is a little 65-year-old girl, autistic, handicapped, special. She died last week living in a group home. And she has no family. And I talked to the lady that owns the group home, who had kind of adopted her. The lady that owns the group home is way up in her late 80s, Diane. Diane said to me, "Pastor, I want to tell you something." I said, "What do you want to tell me about Victoria?" She said, I want you to know that she was autistic, and so music didn't connect with her. Beat did, and she could dance a little. But she knew only one song, and that only the chorus. And I said, what's the song? She said, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so." That's all you need to know. There's going to be stuff in your life that you are not going to have answers for until you get to heaven. We're going to understand it better by and by, the song says. So look, you're going through some really dark times. I want you to know that there is this understatement about God in the Bible. Three words. He is able. It's used by the writer of Hebrews. He is able to save those to the very end, all of those who come to God through Him. He is able to get you home. The Apostle Paul said it too. "For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to keep what I have entrusted to Him against that day." He's going to take care of it. Jesus loves you. Charles Spurgeon, the old English preacher that died 150 years ago, he used to say, "When you can't trace God's hand, trust His heart. We know what He's like. We might not have the answers right now, but we know Him, and He's going to handle it." Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Let's pray together, my friends, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the revelation of who You are by this world and by the Scriptures. Thank You for this information we could have never known had You not told us. And so we cling to it today. It's so hard for us to fathom what You're like, but we wonder at You. I mean, we just are amazed at who You are. And so You've made the promises, and we cling to the promises knowing that You are able. We thank You for this. Encourage Your people. Give them strength today as they face their week coming. Thank You for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.